you work in a field of data journalism, and some might say the numbers don't lie. And but tell me the importance of working with actual data and how that could basically come to the defense of journalism as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a new. Let me just start out with the idea that this isn't a new thing. I mean, people have been using data that we get from government agencies to help uncover stories for 30 years, 40 years, something like it. So my specialty is in using, and it's a very small little specialty, is in using databases, documents, any kind of recorded information of any kind, usually gotten from the government through Freedom of Information requests, in order to check tips, in order to document systemic problems in agencies, or to contribute to an investigative theory. We call it kind of the empirical side of investigative reporting. Investigative reporting has for a long time been much more ethically and empirically based, but this is kind of taking that to the next level.
That phrase fake news is tossed around quite a bit, to a point where it's almost a frustrating daily experience for folks, even if they don't work in investigative journalism. You've got people who will call you fake news, and yet they will pass on actual fake news through the internet. So it just tell me about that threat to
I think it's more just used. I mean, you know, people have hated reporters for a long time and have hated the media for a long time. And it's now become the words you say when you don't want to say, I hate the media. The problem with that is that when you actually get to talk to people, they usually actually don't hate the media, not all of the media, and there really is no such thing as the media, as you know. So the whole fake news thing is becoming very difficult, and we're finding it in reporting as well. I don't know if you're finding it in your reporting, but it is kind of giving officials in particular the cover to refuse to engage with you on a serious story or on any kind of accountability. Instead, they'll just say, well, you're all fake, so I'm not even going to engage. And that's a real problem. It takes away the accountability to the public that elected you or has put you in some kind of position of power, whether it's an elected power, an official power, or even the power of a large institution in your community. And by just saying the words fake news, what you can do is avoid that kind of scrutiny and accountability. So I know reporters are pushing back on that very hard, and it's a shame that that phrase has now come to mean I don't trust you, and so I don't want to talk to you.
Have we created our own problem by perhaps wanting to stay in the good graces of people to secure future interviews? That have we compromised ourselves too much?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's, I think some people I'm sure have, and some people may have gone the opposite way and been a little too proud to, for instance, take someone down, you know? There has been kind of a cowboy attitude, at least in investigative reporting, that doesn't really serve us very well. And it should never be anybody's goal to take someone down. It should be someone's goal to find the truth. And so I think that it goes both ways. I think there are some reporters who have been very close to their sources and been trying to soft pedal the news in order to maintain access. But there are just as many that have come on very strong and very aggressively without really a need to do that.
There's also the economics of the business. We've seen some media companies having to, they have scaled back. Tell me how that threatens journalism and its credibility.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that the national media are doing okay, right? And unfortunately, it seems like the new there's almost a glut of national media, that we're learning the same things over and over again from the same 10 places. Meanwhile, state houses are going uncovered. In particular, state houses are a real problem. And that's the level of government that really affects most people the most. But it's also the least profitable profitable form of coverage. So, you know, as politics becomes kind of an entertainment game, people are able to make money off of political coverage, but not off of the you know, committee meeting in the state house. And the same thing in some community news. And that's what's so important about some of these new, and there are new investigative reporting nonprofits like the iPost News that are showing up all over the country. I believe there are about 200 of them now. And even though they're very small, they kind of have a good leverage on the rest of the news media in the area. It kind of helps everybody pick up their game a little bit. I also think that there are more and more local news organizations that are discovering that their core job of holding of hard news is local hard news is likely to help them with subscribers only because there's really nowhere else to get that. That I can get the TV listings anywhere, I can get sports news almost anywhere, but I can't really find out what the school board did that's going to affect me anywhere. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to find a better business model that will be able to sustain more of these places. But it is a transition now and a transition into no one knows what.
Some people, when they think data, they think, you know, numbers and too much information, and that potentially turns them off. You know, how can data journalism be appealing to a mainstream audience that accepts that, you know what, the data itself is important, and this is why you need to know this?
Yeah, and that's why what I have always focused on is less what you think of as data journalism, say, in the New York Times, The Upshot, or 538, or something like that, where they are really writing about data. In my career, I have focused more on using data in order to document other kinds of stories that are very human and very traditional in some ways. One story I worked on a couple of years ago was almost entirely a narrative of one woman who may have been killed by her boyfriend, who was a sheriff's deputy in Florida. And that story, we used a lot of data to kind of see how common the problem of officer-involved domestic violence was. But if you were to read it, and if you saw it on Frontline, you probably would never have realized that there was any data behind it. So I think that one way we do that is by integrating the data work with the work that makes journalism appealing, makes people want to read it, makes it powerful. But yeah, you're right, that data itself is not going to convince very many people of much.